The Truth News Network.
When you can't tell the players without a scorecard, when men identify as women, white women identify as Native American, rich privileged Hollywood types decry wealth and privilege, then go to jail for abusing their wealth and privilege, and no one has the brass to speak the truth, there's always TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And here to throw the lightning is Dan Newman.
Not only is Pete Moss very good with his words, he's very good at expressing those words. Thank you, Pete, for doing all the work you do with our intros and our bumps at truthnewsnet.org. We're so glad you joined us here today. We're going to get away from the Mueller rhetoric and all the noise that's still going on and will be going on. Gosh, I don't know how long, but it's going to be with us for a while. But let's talk about Russians. You know, the Mueller report, the Mueller investigation, was all about finding what President Trump and members of his campaign did in collusion with the Russians to impact the 2016 election. None occurred. But that doesn't mean the Russians weren't involved. I, as well as millions of other Americans, and probably most of you, we tired long ago about the reports we saw and heard over and over that experts continued to harass us with. And they all claimed, we know factually, that the Russians interfered with the 2016 election in coordinated efforts to denigrate Hillary Clinton and to assist Donald Trump win the White House. Factually is the word that perked me up. When I hear a political pundit or someone in politics use that word, it gets me looking, listening, and thinking. At Truth News Network, we research. We're always digging for facts. I'm sure you'll understand that when we are told by experts that something politically is factual, our stomachs turn and our heads ache, because the belief that what political experts tell us today are facts, we are pretty certain they are not facts. Mostly opinion. But in our patience and continued research, we have unearthed some facts about 2016 that support those Russian interference claims, with apparent attempts by the Russians to discredit Clinton. We had significant help from other news sources in putting this together, and we'll have some credits to list at the end of this report. But saying this has been a difficult task, and that there has been a little cooperation, very little cooperation from our normal sources, is a gross understatement. This report will be our only such report going forward, so it is lengthy and it's detailed. We'll present it in two parts to you to make it easier to digest. And listen, folks, this is critical. This is full of facts. We'll hold our summary until the end of part two. You'll see and hear part two tomorrow. Read carefully. There's much meat in this, and it explains much and answers many questions you may already have. But it will also initiate new questions for you. So let's get started. The fake Americans Russia created to influence the election. Now, did you get that headline? The fake Americans that Russia created to influence the election. I knew that the Russians had attempted on numerous occasions to impact our elections and that of other foreign countries. So do the Chinese. And for that matter, so does the United States. And we've reported on those in previous stories here at Truth News Network. That being said, my assumption has always been that the NSA and the CIA, as the two foremost U.S. intelligence agencies on the front lines of the defense of our nation's IT infrastructure, stopped every threat. We never heard about them, so surely they just didn't happen. Their protections extended into our election system. We all took that for granted. Because of the cloak of secrecy that covers both of those agencies, I assumed it was for that secrecy that none of their methods were known to any of us in the public. I was shocked to learn that those experts were probably right. What was a bigger surprise was the way the Russians had sneaked into our IT infrastructure. Now, it's not surprising the Russians use spies. They always do. We do. China does, and every other country on earth does too, especially if they're involved with their other country neighbors. But apparently, the Russians in 2016 didn't, at least on the most part, use actual Russian spies. They created fake Americans to be their spies. Like Melvin Reddick of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Melvin was a friendly-looking American with a backward baseball cap and a young daughter. He posted on Facebook a link to a brand new website. "These guys show hidden truth about Hillary Clinton, George Soros, and other leaders of the U.S., he wrote on June 8, 2016. Visit hashtag DCLeaks website. It's really interesting. Mr. Reddick turned out to be a remarkably elusive character. No Melvin Reddick appears in Pennsylvania records, and his photos seem to be borrowed from an unsuspecting Brazilian. But this fictional concoction has earned a small spot in history. The Reddick posts that morning were among the first public signs of an unprecedented foreign intervention in American democracy." The DC Leaks site had gone live a few days earlier, posting the first samples of material stolen from prominent Americans by Russian hackers that would reverberate through the presidential election campaign and into the Trump presidency. The site's phony promoters were in a cyber army of counterfeit Facebook and Twitter accounts, a legion of Russian-controlled imposters whose operations are still being unraveled today. The Russian information attack on the election didn't stop with the hacking and leaking of those Democratic emails or the onslaught of stories, true, false, and in between, that battered Mrs. Clinton on Russian outlets like RT and Sputnik. Far more difficult to trace was Russia's experimentation on Facebook and Twitter. The American companies that essentially invented the tools of social media, and in this case, did not stop them from being turned into the sources of deception and propaganda. An investigation by the New York Times, I know. We don't normally quote the New York Times here, but they were all over this, and I hate to say this, but they got it right. Also, new research from the cybersecurity firm FireEye reveals some of the mechanisms by which suspected Russian operators used Twitter and Facebook to spread anti-Clinton messages and promote the hacked material they had leaked. Recently, Facebook, you saw some of those officials before Congress. Recently, several of those officials disclosed that they had shut down several hundred accounts that they believe were created by a Russian company linked to the Kremlin and used to buy about $100,000 in ads pushing divisive issues during and after the American election campaign. On Twitter, as on Facebook, Russian fingerprints are on hundreds of thousands of fake accounts that regularly posted anti-Clinton messages. Many were automated Twitter accounts. They're called bots, B-O-T-S. You may have heard a lot about bots, but they are an electronic creation that is amazing at disseminating messages. They sometimes fire off identical messages seconds apart, and in the exact alphabetical order of their made-up names. That's according to the FireEye researchers. On election day, for instance, they found that one group of Twitter bots sent out the hashtag war against Democrats more than 1,700 times. The Russian efforts were sometimes crude, with a trial-and-error feel, and many of the suspect posts were not widely shared. The fakery may have added only modestly to the din of genuine American voices in the pre-election melee, but it helped fuel a fire of anger and suspicion in a polarized country. And I think we'll all agree we were pretty polarized in the run-up to 2016's election. A Times investigation revealed missed signals, slow responses, and a continuing underestimation of the seriousness of a campaign to disrupt that presidential election. Given the powerful role of social media in political contests, understanding the Russian efforts will be crucial in preventing similar or more sophisticated attacks in the 2020 congressional and the presidential elections. Multiple government agencies have investigated the Russian attack, though it remains unclear whether any agency is focused specifically on tracking foreign intervention in social media. You've seen and heard and watched and listened to some interviews, some testimony by Facebook and Twitter officials at congressional committee hearings. But folks, they barely scratch the surface. Both Facebook and Twitter say they are, quote unquote, studying the 2016 experience and how to defend against such meddling going forward. We know we have to stay vigilant to keep ahead of people who try to misuse our platforms. That's Alex Stamos, Facebook's chief security officer. He wrote that in a post about the RussiaLink fake accounts and ads. We believe in protecting the integrity of civic discourse. Ha. Critics say that because shareholders judge the companies partly based on a crucial data point, and I'm sure you'll understand when I tell you what that data point is, it's monthly active users. They are reluctant to police their sites very aggressively for fear of reducing that number. What would happen if they reduced the number of their monthly active users? Well, remember this, Facebook and Twitter are free to you and me. Advertising pays the bills, and it also pays investors their stock dividends. The more accounts, the more ads get sold, and at higher prices, the more money everybody at Facebook and all their investors and all their officers and employees make more money. Remember, we've always told you about politics. If you have questions, if you're looking into something, follow the money. Always follow the money. The companies use technical tools and teams of analysts to detect bogus accounts, but the scale of the sites, 328 million users on Twitter alone, but nearly 2 billion on Facebook. That means they often remove imposters only in response to complaints. Though both companies have been slow to grapple with the problem of manipulation, they've stepped up efforts to purge fake accounts, thank God. Facebook says it takes down about 1 million accounts a day. Now, that may sound like a lot, but when you look at 2 million overall, 1 million a day, it's no big deal. It includes some that were related to the most recent French election and upcoming German voting. Think about that. They must have an army of specialists over there because they're messing with the election of all kinds of companies, those two and us, so far that we know. But struggle to keep up with the illicit activity just because of the volume that's out there. Still, the company says the abuse affects only a fraction of the social network. Facebook officials estimate that of all the civic content posted on the site in connection with the U.S. election, less than 0.1% resulted from information operations like the Russian campaign. Twitter, unlike Facebook, does not require the use of a real name and does not prohibit automated accounts, arguing that it seeks to be a forum for open debate. But it constantly updates a trends list of most discussed topics or hashtags, and it says it tries to foil attempts to use bots to create fake trends. However, FireEye found that the suspected Russian bots sometimes managed to do just that, in one case causing the hashtag HillaryDown to be listed as a trend. Clinton Watts, a former FBI agent who has closely tracked Russian activity online, said that Facebook and Twitter suffered from a bot cancer eroding trust on their platforms. But he added that while Facebook has begun cutting on the tumors by deleting false accounts and fighting fake news, Twitter has done little, and that as a result, bots have only spread since the election. Asked to comment, Twitter referred to a blog post last June in which it said it was doubling down on efforts to prevent manipulation, but couldn't reveal details for fear of tipping off those trying to evade the company's measures. But it declared that Twitter's open and real-time nature is a powerful antidote to falsehoods. This is important because we cannot distinguish whether every single tweet from every person is truthful or not, the statement said. We as a company should not be the arbiter of truth. We're just getting started, folks, and I know you're going to hang on every word going forward. Part one we're doing today and then part two tomorrow are really eye-opening things for you to look at and listen to about Russia. And not the Mueller attack, not the meddling with Russian allegations by the Trump campaign. We're talking about real stuff now. Documented, verified, real stuff. We got some more meat for you right after this at truthnewsnet.org.
Spin free, collusion free, obstruction free, fake news free, gluten free. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home?
Whee! You're home.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mrs. A.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
Saying it out loud. No spin, only the truth. Again, Dan Newman.
Are you amazed at the facts that we're able to unearth and bring to you here with just a little research? I wonder why mainstream media has been so lacking at giving Americans all of this. During an interview with The Daily Show's Trevor Noah, Barack Obama denounced the conspiracy theory that Russians tampered with the American voting process. He said this, "We were frankly more concerned in the run-up to the election of 2016 to the possibilities of vote tampering, which we did not see evidence of," he admitted, "and we're confident that we can guard against it." Then Breitbart.com reported this, "Obama downplayed the hack of a private email account of Clinton campaign chief John Podesta, defending his administration for revealing in October that the Russian government was connected. None of this should be a big surprise," Obama said. Now, this is in a stark contrast to what he had just said on the Trevor Noah show. He continued, "Russia trying to influence our elections dates back to the Soviet Union." Obama dismissed the hack and the leaked emails as not very interesting and lacking explosive revelations. He puzzled as to why it was an obsession by the news media, despite the knowledge that the Russians were responsible. He also criticized President-elect Donald Trump then, this is right after the election, for calling on the Russian government to hack Hillary's emails to reveal contents of the deleted emails from her private server, and reminded the audience that Trump had campaign officials connected to Russia. Think about it. Now, you saw that campaign rally in which Donald Trump said that about, "Hey, Russia, why don't you go find those emails that Hillary deleted from her private server?" It was all tongue-in-cheek. The Russians, according to everything we know now, and according to what Barack Obama knew when he said this, the Russians had been after all of that and probably have those emails and a whole lot more. And the former president apparently knew it. What's happened to our political system where some emails that were hacked and released ended up being the overwhelming story and the constant source of coverage? Breathless coverage that was depicted is somehow damning in all sorts of ways when the truth of the matter was it was just routine stuff, he said. Watch and listen closely to exactly what Obama said to Trevor about Russians hacking in 2016.
When the DNC got hacked, we immediately assigned our intelligence community, our law enforcement, to investigate what had happened. And we determined and announced in October that it was the consensus of all the intelligence agencies and law enforcement that that organizations affiliated with Russian intelligence were responsible for the hacking of the DNC materials that were being leaked. So that was a month before the election. This was not a secret. The reason that I'm have called for a review is really to just gather all the threads of the investigations, the intelligence work that has been done over many months, so that the public and our elected representatives going forward can find ways to prevent this kind of interference from having an impact on the elections in the future. What is it about the state of our democracy, where the leaks of what were frankly not very interesting emails that didn't have any explosive information in them.
The risotto was interesting.
Ended up being an obsession. And the fact that the Russians were doing this was not an obsession. This was not a secret running up to the election. The president-elect, in some of his political events, specifically said to the Russians, hack Hillary's emails so that we can finally find out what's going on and confirm our conspiracy theories.
I got to be honest with you. I'm sure that sounds a little bit hypocritical and a whole lot ironic to you. Sounds exactly like CYA, cover your, the other word for an adult backside. What I find interesting is how the former president, who had just completed 8 years in office, downplayed in this interview, just after the election of Donald Trump, the seriousness of the role the Russians played in the 2016 election, and apparently in previous elections, perhaps even his own in 2008 and 2012. The book is still out on that. Well, I know you had a lot of fun today. Part two tomorrow, we're going to look further into what actually happened with the Russians in 2016 and how it happened. It gets even deeper, folks. We discuss the impact it made on vote totals, what is happening regarding Russian election hacking in our elections since 2016, and what is ahead. 2020 is just around the corner, and it's going to be a load of fun. You don't want to miss it. Catch it first thing tomorrow morning at www.truthnewsnet.org. As you can tell, I enjoy bringing this to you. It's revealing the truth, and I like doing that. Till tomorrow, have a great day. We'll see you then.
It's a lot to take in, but when you need a refresher, it's all here. 24/7, 365. Every podcast, every blog. TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.